Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. I thank the Lord for all those that have a heart to obey the Lord, seek Him out, and learn His ways. Everything about God is good. Everything about God is good. And learning who He is one of the most wonderful things that we could ever do in this life. It is a privilege, a wonderful privilege just to learn and to learn who our God is, to learn what He stands for, how He operates, to get to know Him, to commune with Him. Every Sunday I teach a communion class. And this class is teaching about how to it teaches about communing with the Lord, relating to the Lord. And the format that we use is the same scriptures from the Last Supper to the Lord went to the Garden of Gethsemane. And we show different aspects of Jesus related to the Father. And He prayed for His disciples so that they could go forward. And He communed with them. And He showed who the Lord is. He revealed the Father to them. And then He prayed and represented the Father. Just like He represented the Father to His disciples, He represented His disciples before the Father. He was operating as a priest. And that's the job of a priest. Then He turned around and made us kings and priests. We have authority to operate in this world. What we say, go. We have to put Satan out of our path. Satan has a right to be here too, because as long as man is here, he'll be here. As long as, until Jesus comes and remove him. But otherwise, he has a right to be here. So for the first 6,000 years, which is almost over, he has a right to be here. But while he's trapped here, the Lord put him under our feet. And it's up to us to enforce his defeat and walk in our victory. And then he made us priests so that we can represent God to all people and represent people of God. And in order to do that correctly, we have to first commune with the Lord. You know, you can't be an effective priest unless you take time and spend time with the Lord and get to know Him. Otherwise, your representation won't be as perfect. But the more we go in God's presence and represent who He is and learn to operate in all of His Word, we better represent Him. And the standard is always Jesus. And in the book of Acts, we see the same apostles that followed Jesus doing the very same things that He did. And they didn't seem to have a problem getting people healed and making change, transitioning into the perfect will of the Lord, like we've been talking about the last few broadcasts. And we transition into His perfect will as we obey Him, as we take Him at His word and obey Him. All that makes a difference. Every step you take, when you operate in faith, as you obey the Lord, you learn so much more than you do when you first begin in your faith walk. I'm talking about each phase. When the Lord gives you an instruction, you obey it, and you act on it. You live it out in your life. You speak it and act on it. And then you get revelation of why God said do it. And you see why the Lord went that route. But until people take Him at His word and walk it out, they may never understand why the Lord said things. There's so much wisdom in every statement that Jesus made. Yeah, there's so much wisdom in every statement that He made. And I admit, when I first got saved, it used to puzzle me. But I did it. I kept reading it, and the word got in my heart. And I was very unclear on why God said certain things, especially turn the other cheek. And I said, well, I trusted Him on my salvation. He died for me. He's been faithful to me. He gave me peace. So I trust Him. I'm going to do this because I trust Him. I trust Him. I forgave people because I trust Him. When I first got saved, I read the scriptures about forgiveness, and I read the one where Jesus said, if you do good to those that do good to you, what thank have you? You know, but if you love your enemies, you know, the Lord was portraying that was so much better. And he even said, even Pharisees love their friends. And they invite people to parties because they know, or they do good to their friends because they know their friends are wealthy enough to repay them. But Jesus talked about giving to the poor, people who can't repay you. And I said, well, these are good, you know, that sounded more logical to me than turning the other cheek. But I said, I'm going to trust him on this. And I didn't know whether I learned more about it or not. I really didn't. But man, when I began to, everybody that made me mad in the past, even my childhood enemies, the people I didn't like, I forgave them and prayed for them. I didn't just forgive them, I sincerely forgave them. I started because that's what Jesus said. Then when I saw that it pleased God and also that it upset Satan, I went a step further and I started praying for the people who did me wrong. And anybody that made me mad in the past, if I saw them in public, I was very kind to them and I held a conversation with them because I sincerely forgave them and I didn't want them to think that I held a grudge and I truly loved them. And everybody that that did me wrong or my family, I just forgave them because that's what God said to do. And I found out it set me free. I was telling somebody the other day, I said, everything that every person that ever made me mad, you know, I watched when I was in middle school, the middle school years, Roots came out when I watched it. I saw how slaves were treated, and my family used to be slaves. And I saw how harsh it was. And it, you know, when you see the reality, you could really appreciate freedom. And then it made you angry because people, you know, the slave owners treated the slaves in the way they did. And so that, you know, that can cause bitterness and that can cause unforgiveness if you don't deal with it. But my parents taught me to love everybody. And when I saw that movie, they said, you got to love everybody. God loves everybody and, you know, people do wrong. And I had good parents. Some people didn't have people that guided them in God's way. But with God, you can't just turn it on and turn it off when you want to. You have to do it all. If you're going to follow God, follow God. So I forgave the Hambys, the people who enslaved my parents' side, and the Griffiths who enslaved my mom's side, and all the people that enslaved my family. I just forgave them. I forgave them. And then I felt the peace of God like I never had before. And I saw people different. Instead of seeing black and white, instead of seeing rich and poor, I saw people that need Jesus. Whether you were a friend or a foe, these are just things that happen over time. I saw people as people that need to know all there is to know about God. They need to share in the same peace that I'm walking in. I won't hold a grudge against anybody because Satan is out there causing people to think the way they do, inspiring people, tempting people, not inspiring. Inspiration is of God. But Satan, he deceives people into believing lies. You know, in this world, he tried to divide the races. He tried to divide people according to their age. He tried to divide people according to their status, their position in this earth. You know, what kind of job they hold. You know, some people look down on others because they didn't endeavor and go forward as much as they did. But that's not of God. God loves everybody. And when you love people, you're willing to help them grow if you can. And we all, and it's our mandate to love everybody. And we help people grow by representing God correctly. I would rather see, I'm not just concerned about one race. I'm concerned about every race. And sometimes it bothered me because I don't speak but one language. You know, I would love for my website to be in every language, but that'll take a while. But I believe God, some people are bilingual, and I pray that God will move on those who speak two more than one language to learn these lessons and share it with people of their language culture, because I can't do it all. I mean, within the time that we have left. But I love people. I was preaching at my dad's church during Black History Month. I said, I don't have a favorite race. And that came out of my heart. The Lord helped me word it, and it's true. The Lord just helped me say something that was true. I never thought to say something like that. And I was preaching at the Methodist church at the church my dad pastored. And I was talking against racism. I said, I don't have a favorite race. I love everybody. If you can breathe, I love you. And I got saved in 83, and I started loving everybody. And I did love everybody. Even before I got saved, I was never mean to people. I respected people. My parents taught me well. But I did it for another reason, with more understanding after I got saved. Before, I just thought that's just the way to be. But after I got saved, I said, our society, all of it, is under satanic attack. And I won't be divided against my brother, no matter what color he is or where they came from. And I met people from Mexico, and they were Christians and devout. I met people from Africa, Tanzania, they loved God and they were devout. I remember when I was at Pastor Jackson's church, the Lord said something's going to happen when the man from, there was a man that was going to visit from Africa. I said, and I forgot what it was, but the Lord, there was something, a blessing that was going to come when he came. And he told me about it, and I forgot. And then when the man came, I reminded him of it, and he just rejoiced. So God loves people, and they come from everywhere. I've heard testimonies of people from Europe, people that love God. They just love, you know, that's one thing. They are there, no matter where they come from, they have a deep desire for the knowledge and teaching of God. And you can, and they speak inspired. They speak inspired by the Holy Ghost. And you know, no matter, I remember watching Jimmy Swaggart years and years ago. And he had an interpreter, and he was preaching hard, and it was a blessing. And people, and he was truly anointed. You know, that's why the enemy attacked him, and he failed. But before, he was truly anointed. And I remember the crowd, he'd say something in English, then they praise God in their language. And then when he said hallelujah, everybody said hallelujah at the same time, because hallelujah is the same word for every language. It means praise the Lord. And that's a universal word. Hallelujah. And it was just a beautiful thing to see that work of the Holy Spirit. And the whole crowd just rejoiced. I remember that. I never forgot it. But everybody needs the Lord. Everybody's under the same attack. And some people are more resilient than others. Some people won't fall. Some people have learned to fight, and they do better right now. But when the way the enemy treated me, I knew that if my life was under attack, then everybody's life is under attack. So I learned to be more patient. I thought about the need, and as I endeavored to love people, I was motivated because we're all under the same attack, and we all need to handle it faithfully. And I became more, the desire to be more patient was there, because I didn't want the people of God to lose. I want the people of God to win. And I want the people of God to know him and serve him and go forward. We're here to do a job. And we need to do it. No matter, and remember, sometimes in life, the way you feel can be a distraction. Sometimes I get aggravated because people do things that they that I know they shouldn't do, and they ought to know they shouldn't do. But they do it because they see things a certain way. And recently, I was my wife encouraged me to pray about a situation, and I did. And I said, Lord, how should I pray about this situation? He said, tell Satan he can't deceive in this situation. And I did. And I started praying for the Lord to give the guy more understanding and help him do, you know, things that's going to benefit everybody. It's important. And that's what we have to do for our leaders, all of them. Not just the president, but the mayors. Even if you voted, whether you voted for them or whether you voted against them, once they win, they're your leader. And some people don't say, well, that's not my president. That's not my mayor. That's not my governor. But it is. Because the majority made the difference. Whoever got the most votes is the winner. Whoever won according to the rules is your winner, even if you don't like them. It's worse to make it personal. Now we need them to do the best job they can do, and we have to. And Satan's trying to hijack them, even whether you like them or not. Sometimes people don't pray for people because they like them, and they agree with their policies. He or she is still under satanic attack. Satan's trying to hijack that kingdom. Remember in Daniel's prayer, we referred to in his vision, when he was believing God for his answer. He didn't say a demon. The angel didn't say that, Michael didn't say, it was Michael that the angel, he didn't say that a demon, it was a demon, but he didn't say a demon hindered me from coming. He said the king of Persia. Now the king of Persia was the demon that Satan sent to hijack Persia at that time. The human king was not who he was talking about. It was the demonic king that Satan dispatched. And then Michael called him a king because he was making headway. He was influencing the human king. He usurped the authority of the human king. Now, spiritually, that's what's happening now over every city, over every jurisdiction, and even over every family. The enemy comes to hijack that family and lead it astray, distract, just like the pastors that the enemy try to distract them with tradition, and they model up. They start praying that their ministry will go according to what they're used to. They're asking God to do something that He's not willing to do, because every ministry is supposed to be unique. The Lord is supposed to lead you in how it should go, then pray His will be done in the ministry. But instead, when the Lord revealed His will, they pray that their will be done. And their will is influenced by the tradition, which is influenced, you can trace it all the way back to the Pharisees and then idolatry in the first place. See, if you do what you see others do and that's all you're trying to do, you're not gonna fulfill your assignment. Because that's an alternate assignment. God wants you to follow His assignment. And He'll tell you what to do. Until then, be biblical in all that you do. But yield to the Holy Spirit so that when He revealed to you what to do, you can cooperate. It's so important. And if we don't master this, if we don't master following God, we won't master much. If we trust our might and the power of man, we're gonna fall so far short. we're going to fall so far short if we don't get it together and follow the Holy Spirit. Because it's not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Now, if it was by your might and by power, the Lord would have said so. Now, how many visions do you want God to give before we get it? How many people do you want God to give a vision to, so we can just trust what Zechariah said? Zechariah made the statement. Jesus came and did it before us. As we studied him, we automatically have a visual of what Zechariah was talking about. Remember, Jesus operated in the seven manifestations of the Holy Spirit. He manifested himself in our sight according to each one of the seven manifestations of the Holy Spirit. In Isaiah 11, it says, "And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding." And the Spirit of the Lord, one, shall rest upon him. The Spirit of wisdom, two, and understanding, three. The Spirit of counsel, four, and might, five. And the Spirit of knowledge, six. And of the fear of the Lord, seven. Now watch verse 3. "And shall make him a quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears." Because Satan's out there doing deceptive theatrics, trying to get you divided against people that you should be receiving as a blessing. Verse 4, "But with righteousness shall Jesus judge the poor." Read it again. "But with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth, and he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins." And after his kingdom progress, and even when he returns, when everything on earth follows what man does. So when Jesus is in leadership, the whole earth will become like him. Because if your eye is single, your whole body, your whole being will be full of light. Then your actions and your words, your conversation, your influence will be full of light. And then people will begin to be like you. As they come, those that you teach and train, they'll bear your fruit, and they will be of your kind, and they'll be like you. To the point in verse 6, "The wolf also will dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them." Even the animals are acting right. They can all go back to eating herbs again. When Jesus is in charge, they won't act like men. They won't be dangerous and ferocious anymore. They'll still be mighty, all of them, but they won't be ferocious. They won't be deadly. Verse 7, "And the cow and the bear shall feed, their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion and the shall eat straw like the ox. And the sucking child," now this child ain't even weaned yet, they still breastfeeding. "And the second child shall play on the hole of an asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice den." People are letting their babies play outside, and nothing's bothering them. No mosquitoes. You know, if the snakes won't kill them, the mosquitoes won't bother them. And they'll be put back to where, however God made them in the first place, to be a blessing instead of a curse. Verse 9. "They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. And in that day there will be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people. He's going to be for a signal or a sign of the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. And when I first got saved, I felt his peace. And as I do his will, his joy just rises up in me. His rest shall be glorious. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria, and from Egypt, and from Pathros, Cush, Elam, from Shinar, and from Hamath, and from the islands of the sea. And he shall set up an ensign for the nations, and shall assemble out the outcasts of Israel, and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. The envy also of Ephraim shall depart, and the adversaries of Judah shall be cut off. And Ephraim shall not envy Judah, Judah shall not vex Ephraim. All of the division that Satan started will be over. And the people will love each other just like God loves Jesus, just like Jesus loved the church, just like a husband loves his people, his wife and his children. The love of God is going to prevail. All of the darkness and the destruction and all of the backbiting and the slander will be dead with Satan. Satan will be locked away in hell, all the corrupt people locked up. And this is what will be going on day by day under the leadership of the Holy Spirit, under the leadership of Jesus Christ. See, there will be a 1,000-year reign where Jesus reigns on the earth. And there will be no devil to tempt anybody. But man, this period of time will expose the fact that man can be just as treacherous, because at the end of this 1,000-year reign, the Lord's going to let Satan loose, and he's going to tempt anybody he will. And everybody that fall away will side with him. See, even if Jesus was here in our sight, people would still hate him. Now, they'll be dormant, but when the tempter come, they're gonna rebel against him. And that's true for every age, but this will be the very last rebellion. This will be the last work of Satan on earth. He'll never see the earth again after he's released and then captured. Once he's captured that last time, he'll never see the sun. He'll never see the stars. He'll always be in hell in that cave where he's at the bottom of this pit where he's going to be falling. And all of the people that he deceived will be right there with him. So he's going to be in the worst part of hell. And everybody else will be in hell instead of in heaven. The people that remained true, the people that kept a single eye, the people that kept their eye on the prize of God's word. They received the meaning, the heart meaning of God's word, and they obeyed it in spirit and in truth. See, the people that will end up in the kingdom of God, they are those who love God in spirit and in truth. They will not fall away. Even the weak ones, they want to do right. One scripture said that people like David will be like God, and the weak people will be like David was. So this is our heritage. This is where we're going. But all of the division that the enemy started to divide the world and corrupt it will be over. Verse 14 says, But they shall fly upon the shoulders of the Philistine toward the west. They shall spoil them of the east together. They shall lay their hand upon Edom and Moab, and the children of Ammon shall obey them. And the Lord shall utterly destroy the tongue of the Egyptian sea, that's the people of Egypt, and with his mighty wind shall shake his hand over the river, and shall smite it into seven streams, and make men go over dry ground. And there shall be a highway for the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria, like as it was to Israel in the day that he came up out of the land of Egypt. Order will be set. People are going to be able to go to Israel and be blessed and counseled by the Lord himself, because he's going to reign as a king. Seven rivers, so that people can be nourished. God is going to put things right, folks. it's going to be a blessing to see. We're going to see this with our eyes. Now, those that harden their heart against God, they can miss out. And we want people to love God and go forward. It's our job to encourage them, you know, with all costs. Because God loves us and he loves them the same way. God is good. His word is good. And everybody needs to know what the Lord is doing. The more we know of him, the more we represent him. And this kind of wisdom doesn't come from here, from where we are. It comes from the heart of God. It comes from the Holy Spirit.